Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 9 and 10. Let me say a few things by way of introduction. I don't think these things will be foreign to you. You'll probably agree with everything I say. We're living in a world of despair. I'm not trying to start a message out negatively, but to magnify what I'm going to preach, I want to start it out. We're living in a world of despair. We're living in a world of desperation. We're living in a world of extreme discouragement. We're living in a world of massive depression. Psychiatrist says depression is eating away at our fabric. Yet, in this season, there is hope. There is something that can take away the despair, the desperation, the depression, and that is joy. Amen. And I want to say this. This may sound corny, but it's still true. There's joy in Jesus. Amen. Let me say it again. There's joy in knowing Jesus. Amen. Luke 2, 9 and 10. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. No need to be desperate. No need to be in despair. No need to be discouraged. You could be lifted out of your depression. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Back up to verse number 46 of Luke 1. This is the mother of the Lord, her prayer. I'm gonna point something out, then I'm going to give you the thought today. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I want to preach today on some reasons we can rejoice. There's some reasons you can have joy this morning. I will give you an observation. There is a large religion that magnifies and worships Mary. Can I say this to you? No rebuke, just truth. Mary had to be saved too. You know what she said about her son? My God and my Savior. I think that pretty well does away with that kind of worship. By the way, there is one mediator between God and man. He is the man Christ Jesus. There's only one. By the way, religion won't help you this morning. Denominationalism won't help you this morning. That doesn't bring joy. The thing that brings joy is a personal relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, if you're a child of God, you got reason to rejoice. And if you're here and you're lost and on your way to hell, there is hope for your life and a potential of joy in your life. Reasons to rejoice. Can I give you five of them found in this passage in Luke chapter number 1? First of all, in verse number 48, I like this, boy. The Bible said, for he hath regarded the low esteem of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall be called, shall call me blessed. Number one, somebody help me. We can rejoice because he regarded us when we were sinners. when you are on your way to hell. And if you're on your way to hell today, can I tell you what? He's on you. You're on his mind. Before the foundation of the world, God decided and planned that he'd send a Savior. Before the foundation of the world, he was going to send a virgin into this world, and she was going to birth the Lord Jesus, and he would be made of a woman. And, well, glory. And while we were yet sinning, and while we were yet profaning God, while we were yet messing up, there was a God that regarded me while I was a sinner, when I didn't know my direction, when I didn't know what was going on in my life, when I was so reckless. I thank God this morning he regarded me.
Amen.
Woo! That might sink into some of you this morning. Some of you ought to be shouting it out right now. God knows what you were before you got saved. God even knows what you are now. But yet he regards you anyway. Yet you are called of God. Yet you are a child of God. Well, glory. Look back in your life, church. You know, you and I both know we all had skeletons in our closet. But I'm glad the closet's been cleaned out.
Amen.
I'm glad that while I was so mean and so rotten and so sinful and so depraved, he regarded me.
Amen.
Can you wave at me? If you feel that way, wave at me. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, that's reason to rejoice. You know, you said, I don't have nothing to have joy about. Are you saved? Your sin forgiven? You on your way to heaven? You got Jesus? You got a whole bunch. Number two, in verse number 49. Y'all there? For he that is mighty had done to me great things, and holy is his name. Number two, not only do I rejoice because he regarded me when I was a sinner, he rewards me with undeserved blessings. Let me ask you a question. How many of you really realize that God has blessed you and you don't deserve a one of them, but he looked beyond all your faults and saw your
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Well, let's just name it. You say?
Amen.
Hey, most of you this morning came to church, took part in the offering. You're on the giving side,
Amen.
Not on the receiving side. Hey, most of you got a job, got a great family, got a home, got a life that is abundant. How many can raise your hand and say, I've been blessed?
Amen.
And by the way, all you deserve was hell. All you deserve was judgment. But there was a God that said, I'm going to lay your sin, your misery, your life on my son. And I just tell you what, because you're a child of God and because you're an heir of God, I'm going to bless you even though you don't even deserve blessed. I don't deserve to be what I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to have a home. I don't deserve to have great children, a great wife, a great life. But God gave me undeserved blessings.
Amen.
Some of y'all just hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you what's happened to some of us. Some of us have almost got to the place thinking we deserve what God's done for us. The only thing you deserve is hell, sir. The only thing you deserve, ma'am, is hell. But God said, I want it different. I mean, man, I'm saved. But he called me to preach. That's a greater calling than being president, by the way. And he put me into a church. What? Listen to me, I was crying this morning. He put me in a church that absolutely is making a difference in our world.
Amen.
How many churches give 16,000 pounds of food out on one day? Over $15,000 was given out Friday and Saturday. You say, why? Because God's blessed us. Amen. Do you know, church? He's blessed us as a church. How many churches got seven people being baptized today? How many churches have people saved every day, almost every week this month? I tell you, he's been good to us.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you, sinner, you don't deserve it, but God will save you today. Boy, this next one, if you don't want to shout on it, you don't have to. But I'm going to myself. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to what?
Generation.
Can I tell you, how many of y'all know what mercy means?
Amen.
It's not getting what you deserve.
Right.
Number three. He restrains his wrath when I deserve it. Can you rejoice over that? Hey, let's just tell the truth. We're saved, but ain't all of us, we ain't all lived real good and real close to the cross. Come on, help me.
Amen.
Huh? How many of you glad that during your Christian life and even before you were saved, you deserved judgment, but you didn't get an ounce of it?
Amen.
You deserved to be done, but you didn't get an ounce of judgment.
Amen.
Y'all in the same church? Y'all hearing the same things
Amen.
I'm preaching? You deserve to be ruined, but you're not ruined. Because here's what he actually has done. He's restrained himself. He said, I'm going to bless him anyhow.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get you to confess your sins, but I'm going to tell you, many of you could say right now, I have deserved a lot worse in life.
Amen.
But God showed me mercy.
Amen.
And by the way, the way I know you have mercy and I have mercy is because we show mercy.
Amen.
Hey, I want to tell you, how many of y'all want more mercy in your life, rest of your life? Come on now.
Amen.
Then show a little bit.
Yeah.
People that have received such mercy sometimes are not very merciful themselves.
Yes.
I'm learning a little bit and I still got a long way to go. Before you want to be critical of somebody, you might want to walk in their shoes.
Yeah.
You always said, gee, you said the Lord didn't walk in your shoes. He didn't. He was touched with every feeling of my infirmity.
Yeah,
without sin. He knows everything about it. He knows my weaknesses. I know a lot of you are probably greater Christians than me. Have you ever thought anything real mean in your mind? You ever just wanted to snatch somebody out? Well, don't you get your head and pray. You're as wicked as I am. Yet God, you ever wanted to get revenge? And you want to hurt somebody back because you've been hurt? I'll just give you some advice. You better be glad God doesn't act like you.
Amen.
You better be glad God, somebody help me. He restrains himself. I'm having a good time. Look at verse 51 through 53. Would you not agree with me? We're in dangerous, wicked times. How many agree with that? We're in wicked times where people will fly planes into buildings. When a jihadist couple would go and kill 14 people and wound 21 more and had big plans. We're in wicked times when in Chicago, where they got the strictest gun rules, They had more violence than any city in America. I will give you something. You look 51 through 53. The Bible said, he has showed strength with his arm. He shall scatter the proud and the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Number four, I can rejoice in something. Now, I hope you don't take me wrong. What I've seen in Paris and what's going on in our world, it angers me. Now, I'm not going to do something foolish and go out and label innocent people. But I tell you, I do have a reason to rejoice. Because my Lord is going to reprove the wicked.
Amen.
He's keeping score. Somebody help me. He's keeping score. And he'll bring judgment on whom judgment is deserved. And by the way, he's going to right every wrong. Some of you might say, I've been abused and misused, and people have done me wrong. Look at me. Look at the pastor this morning. Don't you dare lay a hand toward them. You forgive them, because my God will reprove every wicked thing ever done to you.
Amen.
He will right every wrong. He'll cross every tear. If somebody done you wrong, don't you do anything. He'll take care of it all. That's why some of us live bitter our whole life, because you don't believe what I just preached.
Amen.
He's going to reprove all this. You say, is he going to let them get away with what they're doing in our world? No, he's not. I read the back of the book. He's coming with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies that oppose him will be destroyed. And he'll walk into Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, and it will cleave. And he'll walk into the eastern gate, sit on the throne of David, and rule there. He will judge iniquity.
Amen.
I'm done with the last one. Verse 54 and 55. He hath hoped, I like that word, his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Number five, I can rejoice about something. He remembers his promises. Let me give you a little prophecy so I can end up this thing. The world hates Israel. Bible even says all nations are going to go against Israel, including the United States of America. And I want to be honest with you. The way we've been judging, or the way we've been running our policy from Washington, I must tell you, it's not with a lot of friendship toward Israel. When they have their people stabbed and killed, they are expected not to protect their land. But I want to tell you, he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he's going to give them hope. I want to tell y'all something. Let me give you something here. He promised you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised you that he's... By the way, friend, if you don't go to heaven because you're saved by the grace of God, then he's a liar. But he's going to keep his promises because you're eternally saved. I say to you, there's people in this room lost and on your way to hell. People have broke promises to you your whole life. Can I tell you, there's one that won't lie, that won't go back on his word, that will stand on the word. His name is Jesus. Bow your head with me.